greatest gift that you and I can leave to our family, our friends, is not the gift or the legacy of money, power, or prestige. The greatest gift that we can leave to our family is the legacy of an unwavering faith. Luke 17, chapter in verse number 5, the disciples prayed a very short prayer. In fact, it's only four words in length. Lord, increase our faith. I hope that's the desire of everyone that is here today, that we grow in faith by appealing to the Lord for the increase. Everything that we are, everything that we ever hope to be, we can trace back to the Lord, His kindness and benevolence. So therefore, if we want to our faith to be increased, we need to go to the Lord. That's why when we go to James 1, 26 and 27, James is very clear when he differentiates the difference between worthless faith and worthy faith. If any man among you seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Some translations say worthless. Oh my, that's worthless faith. Pure religion, he says in verse number 27, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows of their affliction, and to keep himself or yourself unspotted from the world, uncontaminated by the world's contaminants. Well, that's worthy faith. Worthless versus worthy. Well, folks, there is no question when it comes down to those two choices. Really, to understand what's going on, we go back to the beginning of the chapter. Chapter 1, verse number 1 there of James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. James identifies himself as a servant. Folks, if there is one thing that you and I can reach, or if we can ascend to, may it be that we can ascend to being a servant in this life. Jesus came not to be served, but rather to serve. Mark 10, verse 45. Contained within that first chapter of James, these are the instructions in regard to how to increase our faith. In fact, beginning in verse number 2, and going down to verse number 11, notice four commands that will help us increase our faith. Beginning in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Notice those four commands. Count, know, let, and ask. Count deals with our attitude. How's your attitude in regard to God, God's Word, the church, and Christianity? What's your attitude in regard to those things? May it be the kind of attitude that when the trials and tribulations of this life come, you see the joy in living for the Lord. Folks, in every trial, it's like a silver lining in a thundercloud. But secondly, the word know, that deals with our mind. In other words, Christianity is a factual religion. It is stabilized upon the facts of the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not some fictitious, some hypothetical, some pie-in-the-sky theory. No, it is fact and as strong as the rock upon which it is built. That is, Jesus Christ. So know this. Know what? Know that the testing of your faith, when our faith is put to the test, James says, it will produce endurance. Folks, we're in a marathon, not a 100-yard dash. Christianity is a cross-country run. We're headed toward heaven. Thirdly, he says, let. That deals with our will. Let. Give yourself over. Now, he says, not only there in verse number 4, let patience have her complete work. In other words, let it permeate every part of your being. He goes on down to verses 9, 10, and 11 and continues this aspect of the will. Notice in verse number 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, for as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. He says this, here's the illustration, an agricultural illustration. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat that it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falls. Notice that illustration. When the heat of the day comes, you better be prepared to weather the heat of the day, because if you're not, you'll just collapse under the weight and the heat of the day. He talks about that the rich will not be able to experience that, but the poor, that is, the humble, will. Then he goes on to verse number 5 and he says, ask. That's prayer. Heart, our prayer. If you lack wisdom, I'm sure everyone here could stand to increase or to improve in wisdom. I'll be the first to say, I need more of it. You see, wisdom, folks, is different from knowledge. Knowledge is when you take something apart. Wisdom is when you can put it back together again and it works. I need that. I need that to approach and to live life every single day. And so James says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. He gives to you liberally. He will not withhold that. Oh, thank God for that wonderful promise that He has made to us. He'll give us that. Now, folks, those are the commands. You follow those four commands, dealing with your attitude, your mind, your will, and your heart. That is an all-encompassing thing. That's dealing with every part of me, every part of my being. But thank God for the advancement in regard to the attitudes. You know, not only does Matthew chapter 5 contain beatitudes, but you see, James has a few beatitudes as well. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You see, folks, that is a word of encouragement. You endure through life. You stay true to the Lord. Don't give up on the Lord, because, folks, He hasn't given up on us. And at the end of this life, whenever that time might be, there is a promise of a crown of righteousness given to those that really love Him. I can't imagine what that crown might be like. I can try, but, you know, only experience will really tell. But oh, how I want to be able to wear that crown in eternity. I ask you this morning, is your life headed toward heaven, where you will be crowned for all eternity? If not, then your faith needs to increase. Folks, even among faithful people, there are still temptations, because you see, there is the source of temptation found here in this section of Scripture, as well as the course of temptation. Notice in verse number 13, let no man say. Now, what does he mean by that? You see that phrase there, let no man say, is basically one word in the original language, and it's a command. It's in the indicative mood. Now, what that means is this. When you find something in the indicative mood, and let me warn you, okay, be prepared for what I'm fixing to do so I don't scare anybody, okay? Just be prepared. When something is in the indicative mood, it's not something that you say real quiet. It's not something that you just whisper. James is saying, let no man say this. Now that's the indicative mood. Do you think James is trying to get his point across? I do. James, what should we not say? Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Don't ever say it. Because God is not the source of temptation. God loves us. And let me say to us today, beyond any shadow of a doubt, folks, God loves every single one of us. So much so that He gave His only begotten Son so that we might live for eternity. That's how much God loves us. So when it comes to temptation, don't start blaming God for it. Those temptations in regard to drink and drugs and those temptations of lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life to dress up or dress down, to do inappropriate things, to say and think inappropriate things, things that are not consistent with God and His Word. Don't start blaming God for that. That's the wrong source. He goes on to say, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Sometimes people point their finger at God and shake their fist when they need to be looking in the mirror for the cause. If we have succumbed to temptation, it's not God's fault. Guess whose fault it is? We're the one that failed. So let's go back to God. Now, that's the source of temptation, but there's a second thing in that text, and there is the course of temptation. In other words, you lay out the course of temptation, and you can see it. It'll happen that way every single time. Kind of like, you know, you're out in the woods, and let's say you want to leave your trail behind and make sure you can get back to where you left, so you leave a breadcrumb trail. And you got that breadcrumb trail, so when it's time to return, you turn around and you follow it. You see, that's the way temptation is. It's clear. Everybody can see it. Some people just choose to ignore it. James says this. He said, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See how it's laid out there? The word conceived there means it grabs a hold of you. That's what it means. Well, just latches on like a leech and won't turn loose. As it's a hold of you, hath conceived, it grows. It grows. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin is just emanating from every orifice of that unholy union. And he said, the only destination that you're headed is death. Folks, that's dangerous. I'm going to die one of these days, and so will you. But folks, when I die, I want to then go and live in eternity with God forever. I don't want to suffer in the devil's hell. So I must understand that there is a source and a course of temptation. In the midst of all of this context, what do we need to remember? As our faith is growing and developing, we're understanding better how God is communicated to us and what He expects of us. Well, folks, we understand in verses 16 through 18, God gives those things that are only of a good and perfect nature. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Of His own will, He begot us. We have been born again. Of His own will begot He us by the Word of truth, the Bible, that we should become like a first fruit of all of His creatures. Like I said a minute ago, God loves us. And there in verses 16 through 18 is the proof of it. Why would we ever want to do wrong or go wrong against God when He has been so good to us? Think for just a minute. How good has God been to you? Now, I did not use the plural pronoun. I did not say how good God has been to us. Let me take us to a more personal place. How good has God been to you? We could spend the next week each one of us telling over and over again how good God has been to us, and we would only touch the hem of the garment. Only a drop in the bucket of life. God is the source of it all. Therefore, whom should we serve? We serve God. Contained within this, we understand that there are things that we need, that we have as responsibility. Notice in verses 19 and 20, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." He said, "For the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness of God. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." You see, many times people think that being swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath speaks of the conversations, the relationships that we have, that we need to shut our mouth and open our ears and not get angry. That's our posture with the people around us. No, that's not what it's talking about, folks. Now, that could be an application, because truly we need to listen twice as much as we talk. You've never got in trouble by what you said, have you? I guess I'm the only one here that has. But now that's an application, isn't it? We need to listen twice as much as we speak, and don't get angry in the process. But he's not talking about our relationships between each other, a horizontal relationship. You know what he's talking about? He said, you be swift to hear God, slow to speak out against God, and don't you start getting angry with God, because he's only been good to you. Folks, I'm convinced that that posture, that attitude will help you grow in faith. We appeal to God in His Word as the standard for both our faith and our practice. And He'll never steer us wrong. His promises are always true and will carry us through. The anger of man never once has worked the righteousness of God. Untold have been the times over in the county from which I have come or grew up that I have been called just recently, called to mediate a dispute between people that I know. And I said, "Why are you angry at one another?" "Well, he said and she said and he did and they did." So many times the disputes between human beings can be traced back to selfishness. Oh, let's just get real. All the time, difficulties that exist can be traced back to selfishness. Let's trace the righteous things back to God. Serve Him and Him alone. Now, let's go a little bit further and notice here the context, there's further instructions that we have here, because you see, we're talking about increasing faith, growing faith. Folks, every one of us need it. Don't think that you're exempt here this morning. Every single one of us needs to grow in our faith. James 1, beginning in verse 21, there's a series of things here that will help you more than anything else in this world. More than I could ever help you in a million lifetimes. Beginning in verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and all that remains of immorality or wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." The implanted word which is able to save your soul. Two things there. Number one, lay aside. Folks, there might be something in your life right now that you need to sever, cut off, get rid of. What if it's filthy language? Folks, we live in a world where that influences a lot of people, doesn't it? Even folks within the church. What about evil thoughts? What about lying or cheating? What about viewing things that are inappropriate for any Christian to ever view? What about unholy or unhelpful relationships? What about the fact that I have just treated another like a Christian should never treat another? Folks, those things have to be purged. They have to be laid aside. They have to be cut up, severed from our lives. In their place, notice what he says. He said, receive. How? With meekness. You see, folks, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power that is under control. That's how I want to live. Power that is disciplined. Discipline to do only that which is good. Well, notice in verse number 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So when a person is only a hearer and they do not do what they have heard, they suffer from one of the, what I consider one of the, well, it's the worst weapon in the arsenal of the devil's weaponry. They suffer from self-deception. Deceiving your own selves. I have convinced myself that wrongdoing is actually right, and I'm convinced of that. Folks, that's worse. That's terrible. Because that's the person that all they do is hear, and they don't apply what they hear. Ooh. That's a big one right there, isn't it? So you got to hear and you got to do. Put it in together. Tandem. I hear, I listen, I meditate, I read, I study, and then I live what I have learned. But there's a warning. Here's the warning, verses 23 and 24. He said, if any man among you, he said, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, here's what they're like. They're like a person that looks at themselves in a mirror and then quickly turns away and goes about and does their, well, whatever they do, and they immediately forget what they have seen. He said, this person is deceived. How many looked in a mirror this morning? How many's looked in a... I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. How many in this audience have looked in a mirror today? Please raise your hand. That's pretty unanimous right there. Why did we do it? To see what we look like. Folks, let me ask you. Why do you look in the Word of God that is compared to a mirror? You get the point? Because if all we ever do is look into the Bible, then quickly turn away, we will forget what we have learned. Folks, I want to tell you something, okay? Let me get down here for just a minute. I just got to tell you something, okay? Wednesday night, if you weren't here Wednesday night, I'm here to tell you, you missed a powerful challenge. Kyle Butt, he challenged me. That's all I've been thinking about since Wednesday night. If God's Word is not in me, how can I ever expect to live it? He asked, how many have read the Bible from beginning to end? Now, fortunately, I am thankful, and I'm not bragging, I'm thankful to have read the Bible many times and the New Testament many more times. I'm thankful to know that. But folks, I know the Word of God needs to be in me more. And the only way it'll be in me is if I spend time with it. I can't take a look at it and then turn away. Because if I do, I'll lose faith. I'll quit praying. I'll stop attending the worship services where I receive encouragement. I'll quit giving. I'll quit being a Christian. And someone will wake up one day and say, well, where's old brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so? What happened? They looked into the Word of God and then they turned away. And what happened? They forgot. So thus, we see in verse number 25 a great challenge. But whosoever continueth, that is, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man, this person, shall be blessed in what they do. I want that blessing. What I want. Folks, I'll be honest with you, I need it. And so do you. That brings us right back to where we started. You see, verse 26 talks about religion that is worthless. If any man among you seemeth to be religious, notice that. Seems to be. Acting like he or she is religious. Now, how do you know if that person is not really religious? Notice. And bridleth not their tongues. Uncontrolled tongues equal worthless religion. Because you see, the Word of God is not controlling their tongue. Said, this person's religion is vain. Don't want that. That's not increased faith. That's not growing faith. That's declining, deteriorating. That faith is, well, it's just kind of almost going out of existence. What a want then. What a need. What I must endure to develop. Pure religion. Pure and undefiled religion. Notice, it's before God the Father. He is the object of everything that we should think, say, or do. We must be objective in that. But practical as well, because what do we do in regard to objective religion that is pure and undefiled? See, he says this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Folks, it's not big I and little you. We're in this together. Well, do you remember this? Well done, thou good and faithful what? You know it. You just said it. We're in this to serve. To visit the fatherless and widows of their affliction. And, notice he said, keep thyself, yourself, uncontaminated, unspotted from the world. The world will tear us down. Folks, I'm here to tell you. Let me just bottom line it, okay? The world will take you to hell. Don't let it into your life. Few thoughts for your consideration this morning. See, we're talking about growing faith. God's Word is our standard. May it be your standard and mine so that we can grow strong, we can be a powerful example, a great influence for the cause for which Christ died. If the world has crept into our lives in any way, in any form, we can't allow that. Purge it out. Go to God, confess your sins, repent of those sins, pray to Him for forgiveness. This morning, if you're outside of Jesus Christ, if you have never been baptized for the remission of your sins, exercise a living faith. Repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Come to Him in submission of baptism and the blood of Jesus will wash away your sins. You'll be added to the Lord's church to go on your way rejoicing. But what if you've done that but yet strayed away? Come home today. God will forgive you. If that's your need, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.